love does no evil to the neighbor. These words of St. Paul, when they would have been read by the Romans who he was writing to, would have sounded so incredibly strange. He says, love does no evil to the neighbor. We hear it, we're so used to it. You hear about it spoken of, love, love. The Christian dictum of love God and love your neighbor. But what St. Paul is speaking about here, it's not just the golden rule. Do to others what you want done to yourself. This is so much more radical than that. That this is don't do evil to those who are doing evil to you. Who are doing evil otherwise, horrible things. Don't do evil to them. And in fact, Paul's writing to the Romans here. When the Roman Empire fell, when the city of Rome was sacked by the Goths in 410, and they were looking around saying, what happened? The eternal city, the city that would stand for eternity, and now we've been sacked, overtaken. They looked around and they said, this is what they blamed. They said it's because the Christians. Because 60 years ago we became a Christian empire and they made us weak. Love does no evil to the neighbor. Yeah, that's reckless. Because you have that and you have a country that tries to do that and it makes them weak. And this, of course, is what the evil one, when you hear of Christian love, when you hear it spoken, it's like it washes over you and your eyes sort of curl back. Oh yeah, love your neighbor, love is kind, love is patient. Of course, he wants the impression that's left when you hear of Christian love to be even a subconscious thought of, yeah, but that's pretty weak. When of course what the evil one does, what he always does is inverts it. Because the strength of Christian love, the power of it, is precisely what threatens the enemy. Because it's this, and it's only this, that can kill evil. It sounds passive, it sounds weak. The weak person sort of cowering in a corner, don't hurt me, please. But St. Paul here, the prophet Ezekiel, and then in the gospel, Jesus himself, point very strongly that what God commands us and what the Christian faith teaches us is that we're not to hide from evil. But in fact, what Christian love does is it seeks it out and confronts it. Christian love is meant to destroy evil, but it's how it does that. Even St. Augustine was the one who formulated the just war theory and articulated one to be able to kill in self-defense. But even that, the whole purpose of the how and the why is out of a rationale of Christian love. That's a whole other side thing. But all of it comes back to that for Christians. That in the face of evil, and this is what these first two readings speak about, the Christian is neither to be silent, well, that's happening, but I'm taking care of my business here, all that evil, nor are they to resort in violence. There's a novel by the Canadian author Michael O'Brien. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He writes beautiful, powerful, and long novels, but they're very good. One of them is The Father's Tale. And he writes about in the middle of the novel, the main character confronts, or doesn't confront, he meets a priest in Russia who tells about his childhood growing up. He grew up in the midst of World War II. His family was actually forced to leave their native land when he was a small child when the Nazis came in, and so they fled east. They ended up going into Russia. Well, even after the war, the communists took over, and in some ways they were even worse. But he speaks, this character does, mostly about his parents and how they lived with their family, how they taught their children, what they did in the midst of this. They were surrounded by evil on every side. And they were surrounded by even neighbors who had gotten caught up in that tidal wave of evil. They'd become all about it. But he said his parents were never caught up, and they never heard them ever say a word of evil or hatred to those who were persecuting them. Those blasted expletive. He never heard them lash out in hatred against those people who were making their lives hell. But instead, he said, when they saw their parents, they saw courage, confidence, and an immense love. That they spoke about the evil going on around them, but they never spoke evil on them. And this character says that when the parents, when they were little kids, would lay them down at night, they would whisper in their ear, "It's okay. Jesus is with you. He will make it better. It's okay." And they believed this because they saw their parents living it. Like, they actually saw their parents living what they were saying. That it's okay. Jesus is with us. He will defeat this. So here you are. Faithful families, just trying to do your best to live faithfully in a world that, in a lot of ways, is losing its mind. And so many people, at least I know my own brothers who are raising families, you know, they ask, how do you raise kids in the midst of this time? And even my own parents, they say, wow, to raise kids right now. Kids are sponges, aren't they? They watch everything you do. And you guys know that 98% of kids learning something is not what you say, it's them seeing what you do. How do you live in the midst of all of it? When you're under extreme stress, what do you do with that? They see you. They learn from you. When you're under extreme stress, how does mom treat dad? How does dad treat mom? How do they speak to one another? When you fight, do they see that? Do they hear that? Because they're soaking all of that up like a sponge. Almost everything they learn is from that, what they see. How do you live in the midst of that? This character in the novel, the one who becomes a priest, he explains that he did so because he saw his parents loving those who were making their life hell. And his heart was drawn to bring that to them. He was drawn to be Christ and to be him in the midst of that hell. To bring love in the midst of it. That's what kills evil. That's what actually kills it. Do you know what reproduces it? Because evil can either be killed when you encounter it. It can die. God has given you the power through your baptism. The Christian power of love can actually kill evil. But do you know what reproduces it? Where when you confront and when you experience evil, and instead of it dying, it becoming reproduced, and more of it coming out of it. I have a brother priest who tells a story when he was a freshman in college. Some of you have sent your kids off to college. And you know, not everybody likes their roommate. It's true. This guy hated him. Complete opposites. And he said the first week, at the end of it, he called his mom. And he said, I just cannot stand what he's doing. And you know what? I'm going to do the same thing back to him. I'm going to give him a taste of his own medicine. And of course, with that mom wisdom, right? She said, oh, go ahead. But you're not giving him any medicine. You're just drinking from his poison. You're not going to give him a taste of his own medicine. You're just going to get a drink from his poison. Because the way that evil is reproduced is you become what you hate when your response to it is one of hatred and not this radical Christian love. A love which takes upon itself the injury and brings Christ to it. This week, two things. Where you have the hatred within your heart, where you've been an example of that to your kids, to your grandkids, repent of it. Repent of it. If you do, God will take that and redeem it. He'll bring good out of that if you let him. Second is ask him to purify from your heart any way in which the evil one, the devil, has given this idea that Christian love is some sort of weakness. And ask him to give you instead the courage and the grace to live in a way that you're not silent in the face of evil and you're not violent in the face of evil either, but instead you confront it with this radical Christian love.